That opening prayer suggests that God dwells in those who are just and true, and it prays that we would become a suitable dwelling place for God. One of the sacramental ways we celebrate that presence of God in our lives, that indwelling, is baptism, where we immerse ourselves in the death and resurrection of Christ and become, through the power of the Holy Spirit, bonded to Him so that He and the Spirit dwell within our very bodies for the rest of our lives. Now, before Christianity, before baptism, there were all kinds of just and righteous people in whom God dwelt. But the sacramental system is a way for us to realize that. You know, it's not that God didn't reconcile and heal sinners long before Christ, but Christ comes to announce that and make it more real for us so that we can trust in that and hope in that. And basically, life is a kind of a choice. Jeremiah says that in the first reading. Jesus says it in the gospel. The choice is, you can realize God's presence in your life and feel fulfilled and basically at peace, even in difficult times. Jeremiah did not have a very happy life in the normal human sense of the term. He was called by God to preach a rather negative message, and he criticized priests and kings, and they hated him. And so he suffered quite a bit of desert experience in his life, quite a bit of suffering. And yet, he never really deeply down doubted the presence of God in his life. And so that gave him the resolve, the strength, to say what he had to say and to suffer the consequences. The way he puts that in a kind of poetic term is in this reading, "Blessed is the one who sinks their roots like a tree next to the stream, the life-giving stream of God's grace and love." Well, we would call that baptism, Christ, the indwelling of God in us. And if we experience that presence, then we don't have to go looking for honor and possessions and all the things of the flesh. Jeremiah says, "Cursed is the one who trusts in the flesh being the world, this life, those false treasures that rot and decay and can be stolen. Put your trust in the God who dwells in you forever." And then Paul puts another twist on that in that second reading, where he says, if you believe and have immersed yourself in the death of Christ, then you have also immersed yourself in his resurrection, because the two go hand in hand. For Jesus, death and resurrection are like one moment. Now, the scriptures and the liturgy spreads that out over 3 days, that he spends 3 days in the tomb. But in a real sense, death and resurrection in the Trinity are just, they're happening over and over again in a dance of love for all eternity. And Jesus, in his humanness, again, sacramentalizes that, makes that visible and tangible for us so that we can trust in that for ourselves. But another point that Paul is making is that the resurrection is not just about Jesus. There's nothing in the scriptures that presents Jesus as saying, "I'm God's son and you're not. I'm going back to the Father, but you can't come." You know, no, he's always beckoning. He's always saying, "What's true for me is also true for you." And he gives his mother Mary in her assumption as a sign of that, that already, even now, the presence of the kingdom is available to us. That sinlessness, that righteousness and peace and justice can dwell in our hearts and in our bodies even now. But it's also about the future. Just like at Eucharist, we remember the past, we celebrate the present, and we long for the future. And the Eucharistic prayer, every Mass, reminds us of all three of those time zones, because in the Eucharist, time collapses, and it's all now. And so if we experience that presence of God in our lives now, we won't have to be grasping for other treasures. We won't have to be looking for meaning and fulfillment in some other place. Even in the drought, we'll still be green. We'll still bear fruit. Jeremiah didn't promise in that reading that we wouldn't suffer desert, but he said we'll stay green. And Jesus never promised that we wouldn't die, but he promised that we would rise from death. This is a huge, infinite blessing. It comes with its dark side. It comes with the death. And baptism is about dying, but it's also about resurrection. And if we sink our roots deeply into that stream of life-giving water, we'll never die. Oh, the heart will stop, but we'll never die in that eternal sense.